pre-recorded for broadcast at this time.
Take a trip with us to learn about some of your neighbors with this edition of KXCR Conversations. These are neighbors just like you and me, and how their lives are filled with history. KXCR Conversations with you.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the second part of our two-part KXCR conversation with Delirium Musicum founders Etienne Guerra and Yuen Kim. Both are currently on the road in their bright red Volkswagen bus, playing their inventive and provocative versions of many classical music pieces for music lovers along the way. Karen, before we signed off last week, you had a question for Etienne.
You guys can both work as much as you want to when there's no pandemic, but... What did anybody come forward who said, I've got to sign you up, or I've got, you know, you've got to do this with our group, or did anything like that happen?
Yeah, I mean, when the what I was saying with Delirium Musicum and Warner Classics, you know, that we're supposed to record, and that also happened almost overnight. A couple email and then a meeting in Paris, and there's a week later a meeting at their headquarters in New York, and that was pretty much it.
Wow.
And we actually made some arrangements of Chopin.
Yeah, that Sean actually commented in the comment that, oh, you could do all 24 Chopin with violin and with violin. So I was like, oh, maybe no one has done that yet. Right, and I searched. Yeah. There are a few numbers of arrangement, but there's no one did the whole thing. So I started thinking about, oh, maybe I could do that, right? Yeah. Because there are so many Chopin nocturnes that are not really popular, but really beautiful.
So beautiful, yeah.
So when we started Music Caravan, also we arranged a few of Chopin's nocturnes too. And that was like absolute people's favorite everywhere we play.
And then we made a little music video with Chopin Nocturne in Napa, in one of the wineries, the Charles Cook Winery, which part of the Mondavi family there.
Right.
Yeah. Because, you know, I mean, playing Chopin with two violins is just so much more romantic than with one piano, no?
Yeah, and especially in a vineyard, you know, like you have your glass of wine over to the side and take little breaks and a little sip here and there, you know.
Yeah, so that's the project we had in mind that I think would be absolutely great to record, have an album that we could, you know, share with people. It's not only soothing, it's just so romantic and beautiful. It's great music writing, you know, it's just really amazing. And having a chance to play it on a melodic instrument, lyrical instrument like the violin.
Yeah.
When we can even add slides that the piano cannot, then it's really, it's just perfect.
Yuen, tell me, when did you first realize that you loved music? How old were you? When did it happen?
Pretty young, no?
Yeah, I would say when I was when I started piano when I was 5, well, I enjoyed just, you know, but then I remember my father was he was not singer professional, but he loved singing, and he was teaching me old, like, Korean pop songs. So I sing with him. Yeah, I used to sing with him all the time from a young age. So I know all the 70s, 80s Korean pop songs.
Doesn't make me feel old at all.
And I discovered, beauty of music, by singing with people, others, and my father.
Right.
And came when that yeah. came to violin, I used to get bored of playing piano a lot, but violin was never boring.
The piano is, you had to play violin.
I was looking for something to like more like to suffer.
Yeah, it's like ballet.
At the end, how about you? What was the first glimmer for you?
Well, yes. I was lucky to be born in a family, very artistic family, where my father was also the artistic director of a major Parisian theater. So from pretty much birth, I was yeah. backstage going to rehearsals, listening to some of the best yeah. musicians passing by Paris for concerts. And I feel like I was born backstage of a theater pretty much. Mm-hmm. I love the smell. I love the tamed lights. I knew all the crew. The crew loved me. You know, it was magic for me. It was like being at the theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's basically what it was, huh?
And very young, I saw a violinist, very famous violinist that I really liked since, who's called Gidon Kremer. And next thing I knew it was that I wanted to play the violin. And then my parents put me in the after school Wednesday evening class for a year when I was 5. And then a year after, mm-hmm. I still wanted to play the violin, and they put me in the conservatory. So, I mean, the system is a bit different in France. You actually start the conservatory at, you know, any age. You have to do some kind of exam, do some theory. And I did that, you know, until 16. I don't have an SAT, but I have 11 and a half years of university. I was 16 to start my bachelor in Austria. And then I lived more abroad than at home. By now.
Wow. Now, do you have a favorite piece that you would like to, perhaps you have a favorite piece you would like to share with us today? That
we'd
like
a
to
favorite to? Piece is very hard because there's so many of them. And it's usually the one I'm sure. playing, but there's one that I really want to share because I think it will make you smile. And that is by Charlie Chaplin, and it's called Smile. Okay,
let's listen.
I just have to say, I love Charlie Chaplin. Charlie mm-hmm. Chaplin is one of my heroes So that's a beautiful, beautiful song.
Yeah. We don't know him as a composer, right?
Yeah, very often, we discovered that he composed so many beautiful songs.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was a genius.
Yes, really. I know he was a genius for sure. And some of his writings are just amazing and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And he had quite the heart. So I wanted to ask you, Etienne, how did you get to do Leonard Cohen's last album? Did he come to you? Did you know him?
That was a complete surprise. I didn't even know that I was going to record for that album when I showed up for the recording session. It's a friend of mine who knew the producer of Leonard Cohen. And it was very, very special because this producer has a house in the valley, just north of Los Angeles, exactly where Zorro was shot, Zorro. So all the horse riding shots that you have in the Zorro movies are shot basically in his backyard. So we arrived there and he has his own studio in the house with all these like synthesizer and crazy things, extremely small. And we were four musicians, right? It's a string quartet there and we sit then down there. And it's almost like the spiritual experience with him because the way he directed the strings to accompany Leonard Cohen's voice was, it's an intimate relationship, with his songs. It's not just like, okay, record, here is the music, play it loud and soft and this. It was really, we needed to get the spirit. So we would repeat the same song again and again until the breathing was right, until it was so organic, it was a flow that you don't even feel anymore. That is perfectly your body temperature or room temperature. And it just like flows on your skin and just soothes your life. It was a very beautiful experience. Yeah. And he passed just maybe weeks or a couple of months after.
Yeah. It was very quick. I listened to it and, I listened to the album a few times and then I actually honed in on the violin and it's so beautiful and I love that the actual tune is it doesn't go all over the place. It repeats itself, I mean, not everything, but there's something
the artist really like the language, his writing, his poems. I was lucky enough to have in my one of his poetry books with his own writing in it, like notes that he wrote to make songs out of the poems and what he would keep for the songs or whatnot. It was a very special experience, definitely.
You actually already touched on this a little bit, but I know it takes a great deal of discipline to make something sound effortless, right? I mean, all of that is transparent when you play. Can you actually step us through the process that you use of selecting, modifying, and then ultimately performing a piece?
Well, it's a process that my whole life was based on what I want to do because I'm absolutely genetically unable to do anything I don't want to do. It's a terrible thing to have in your life. No matter how much you try,
that's wonderful.
Work, I would not have done
it. I'm going to use that line.
I'm going to use that line too. That's wonderful. No, I'm sorry. I'm not genetically disposed to perform this process.
Go on.
please continue.
I'm sorry. But the things that I like to do, though, I do them obsessively and passionately. So it's the same with Delirium Musicum. Mm-hmm. We don't have an agenda of what piece we want to play. Like, is it Baroque oriented? Is it contemporary oriented? It is everything that we feel that we can advocate for and that we feel passionate about, period. Because I feel like also an audience, they can connect with pretty much anything if you tell the story right. I can tell you a story about, I don't know, nuclear research or about biological whatever or about art. And if it says the right way, with the right passion, with the right kind of awe to it, then you will react to it. No matter if you knew or didn't know or liked or didn't like. And that's the same with music. If people come to a concert and they say like, oh, I don't want to hear contemporary music because it's too weird and dissonance and things. And they come to hear Xenakis with us and then the Bach Chaconne right after, it becomes a spiritual experience and they will remember it as a life experience and not just a musical concert. And that's what I'm looking for. So the same thing when we pick with Music Caravan or with Delirium Musicum, the pieces is what makes me vibrate, we say in French, you know, what gets me in sync with the music, what makes me want to get up, take the violin and play it. What is a story that I want to share with the world? And that's pretty much how we made it, without really thinking further. Now, where there's a much more thinking going on is how do you put that particular piece within a program? And that's the magic of building a menu, the same way you have a Michelin star restaurant that builds a menu and every course needs to be different enough so you are not bored, but close enough so they are not, you know, dissonant with each other. It's the same when you build a musical program. Right. You have a storyline, you have an arch to it. And I'm very sensitive to that because I told you, I was born behind the stage of a theater, and also in Hungarian music, the gypsy bands play and organize pieces in a certain way, which is usually fast, short, fast, as we call a bouquet, a musical bouquet. Very young, I've been exposed to, okay, how do you program something? And it was also my father's job. So I could, learn a little bit from him.
One really fast question? Do you feel like you're a medium for things that come through you? Because I feel like music comes from somewhere else. You know, it's like a worldwide form of communication. Do you ever feel like it just, like a language?
Language.
Do you feel like it comes from some other place?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I can use the word being a medium. That sounds almost like I would be like a prophet or something. Might be a little arrogant from me. But but maybe that something is sent through me. I definitely think that artists are mirroring, are a reflection of society. And they have the ability of showing certain things that we're living now with a different angle, with different glasses, a different perspective. And they are able to speak a language that speaks universally. And that sounds, very generic, but there is really something true about it, that we can connect with people in ways that is impossible to do differently.
Yes.
Because there is no judgment possible. I mean, we can say I like, I don't like, but we're not attacking frontally, actually, at least any social background, religious background, political background. We're just connecting people with their own emotions, and we reflect that.
Yes.
So I don't know if it's really being a medium, but it's definitely, I think, very close to a spiritual experience. and something that we need as humans, right? Humans are spiritual beings. I'm not speaking about religion. I'm speaking just about the fundamental need of have some kind of spirituality. Without it, we cannot exist. It's the same as a baby will die if the mom doesn't have a physical loving contact with him. It's right. As ingrained as how what we are as conscious beings.
Speak of a music
caravan. Oh yeah, we need to speak a little bit of Music Caravan too. You can find us on social media, Instagram. That's where we post with Music Caravan on a daily basis. Everything that we're doing, going through, will be there. So it's very easy. Music Caravan, MusiKaravan. So music and caravan with no C's, just a K. And then same on Facebook. On the website, of course, musiccaravan.com, where you can find press articles. We'll probably link this radio show to there. You have videos that we shot, music videos and everything. And we are also sharing our YouTube channel that has just a very few videos now. Mm-hmm. But the plan is to do a video episode there of, 10, 15 minutes that relate our journey, mm-hmm. like kind of a little series. Yeah. And we're in the process of editing that.
A lot of work. We have about 2.5 gigabytes of footage.
It is a lot of work.
Yeah. And of course, Delirium Musicum is the same thing. Deliriummusicum.com for the website. And you can also write us messages there through the website and Instagram, Delirium Musicum, Facebook, and Delirium Musicum's YouTube has a lot of videos. So all our concert videos, creative videos, anything crazy that we did is on the YouTube channel of Delirium Musicum.
So tell everybody about Music Caravan and what you got your bus and.
Yeah, it's a 1971 Volkswagen bus that it took us about a month and a half to restore, get a new paint job, get the rust out, get it ready for the road. And we've been on the road for 4 months now.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I realize there are. From this trip, I realized, there are more cool people, crazy people out there. But I thought before when we started this, oh my God, this is such a great idea, but it's such a crazy idea to do it.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, your choice of the VW bus is wonderful. It's an iconic vehicle. And it does, in many respects, represent freedom of the road. So many people had them. I know when I was younger, and it was it represented that. So as far as I'm concerned, great.
That's why we chose it, because at the beginning we're like, okay, we need to travel. How do we do it? An RV would be good. We can get a cheap one. And it was but wait a second. If you show up with an old RV at someone's doorstep, then people so you cannot camp there. But if you come with a cute 50 years old VW, people will invite you in. And that's what is happening. It's opening doors, it's opening the hearts, it's making people speak and create stories, tell us stories that we can share. Mm-hmm. There's an amazing community for VW owners also that is opening doors. We always know we can park somewhere in a driveway, plug in the electricity to charge batteries. It's been really the best choice. Farms, wineries. We play really for the employees because we cannot do it commercially, right? With the pandemic, we cannot attract crowds. So it needs to be like a private, intimate concert outdoor, somewhere where it's safe for everyone. Maybe from 1 to 5 people, sometimes a little more, but never more than 10, probably at most. Mm-hmm. And it's really about sharing something with and for the people. And the reaction are really amazing, like the generosity, the hospitality, the compassion, the love that we meet really gives us faith into humanity. Despite everything that is happening in the world, we see that people have their heart at the right place. And I think there's hope for a better world, and music is gonna save the world, probably.
Yes, I agree. And I think that there is not only hope, but I think that most of people are good and their hearts are in the right place. So that's what we have to remember.
People from all backgrounds.
Yeah.
And no matter what their background, political party, religious beliefs, is the same human interaction and reaction. Mm-hmm. So I really believe that there is a way to a more united world and better days.
Anything that you would like to close out our show with?
Thank you so much for having us. If you want to follow our adventures, you know, and see how we got stuck in snowstorms and floodings and windstorms and how we barely escaped a sneaker wave just a few kilometers up north from where we are.
Ooh.
Just 3 days ago, we got almost, we almost lost the bus.
I think there was a rain of this rain and the wind advisory and stuff.
And then we left Tillamook just like hours before the flooding happened. We just saw the news yesterday where the parking lot where we were is completely flooded.
Wow.
We have quite a few adventures that if you follow us on Instagram, you'll see a little bit of it. And
you'll
later
never
on
get bored.
Yeah, you'll never get
bored. That's
perfect.
Right.
Just like playing the violin.
Don't want to watch what happen if you follow.
Yeah. Yeah, if someone wants to do the same thing as you do, just make sure your parents don't know about it.
Good advice.
Anyone wants to suggest a place where we should absolutely go to play for people, you know, if it would change or save their lives, make them feel a little better, please share with us on our website. And if you want to support us, because we still have to put gas in the bus and eat time to time, you can find a link to support us on the website of Music Caravan or Delirium Musicum. It's the same thing because Delirium Musicum is a non-profit. So if you want to give $1 million to it, then it's all tax deductible these days. So feel free.
Do you have a freezer in your van?
We have a cooler. You just put ice in it. It keeps everything we need for a few days.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good to know. I'll make you something for your road trip.
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
what? Propane burner. So we can cook really good meals if you want to come share soup with us at safe distance, of course.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
you can follow us and support us on the website. It's very easy. musicum.com/support or musiccaravan.com. You have everything there. And we cannot wait to see more people, more delirious people as we are on the road and bring some good vibes.
Yeah,
I'm sure you can't. Our thanks to Etienne and Ewan for coming on the show today and for the beautiful music you're sharing during this very, very difficult time. Your generosity, your passion for performing socially distant concerts are wonderful reminders of the beauty that's in our lives. We wish you all the best on your continuing journey in your vintage VW bus.
Thank you so much. And I very much hope that that we'll be back when the days are a little warmer and when we can bring the whole gang, the whole orchestra to play for you folks.
Etienne and Ewan are the co-founders of Delirium Musicum. Thank you. And please come back again soon. For more information on Delirium Musicum, listeners can go to deliriummusicum.com and can also be found on facebook.com/deliriummusicum and at instagram.com/deliriummusicum. We will also post a link on our KXCR Facebook page with all of this information. I am Karen Hazelwood.
I'm Jerry Schneider. Thanks for joining us on this edition of KXCR Conversations.
This has been KXCR Conversations with you, a regular feature here at KXCR. Having a conversation is easy. Call 997-5252, email info@kxcr.net, or visit us at the station across from the library. Our combined history makes our community. We all have the energy and power to do good things. Organizing and energizing ourselves is a great step in conversation. This is Community Radio, KXCR, Florence, 90.7.